Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio, powered by our good friends, the injury attorneys Sam and Ash. You can call them anytime, 24-7, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's best. Now, I'm broadcasting from home because of COVID and all that stuff. Luckily, I have a studio at home. And during the break, Hondo, by the way, Hondo Carpenter, my special guest co-host today, is back with me as well. Hondo, during the break, I ran downstairs. I got my banana chocolate peanut butter Dr. Jen's ultimate protein bar. This is great nutrition for the entire family. Great snack, or if you're just going to meal replacement. I know a lot of people this time of the year start eating better. They want to lose weight. They want to get into better shape. You could do that. They're certified gluten-free, all natural ingredients, no artificial sweeteners, superfoods, spinach, kale, quinoa are in there. But not only that, it doesn't taste like you're eating a roof shingle. These bars are so good. That's why I ran down during the break downstairs into my pantry and grabbed one. It's my second of the day today. It's one of those days, but they are great flavors, high in protein, great fiber, keeps you satisfied so you're not hungry. Believe me, this stuff works. It's really good. You can get it at Vegas Discount Nutrition or at your local Terrible Herbst. You pull in and get some gas, you can get some power from the food inside Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars. You can find them also online at drjensnutrition.com. Hello. And if you use the code SBT10 for Silver Black Today 10, you get a special discount for our listeners. Plus, you get free shipping. So check out Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bars on drjensnutrition.com. And if you live in Las Vegas, like Hondo, just like you, they're also our chiropractors. They're very, very good.
Yeah, they're my family chiropractor. I love Dr. Jen, and a big shout out to her and her husband. Wonderful people. What a great asset to have here in the Valley.
Yeah, not only that, they are members of Raider Nation. Raider Nation from this show has blown them away. Towards the end of last year, they ran out of inventory. They could not keep up with the demand from Raider Nation. So that was awesome. So thank you to all of them for their support here, but also for you supporting your fellow members of Raider Nation who have a great, great business and a great product in Dr. Jen's Ultimate Protein Bar. Okay, now, Hondo, we're going to switch to head. It's never too early to start looking. I know people get crazy when they see mock drafts this time of the year, but I'm really focused, and I want to get your impression first before we start getting into some names and targets, if you will, in free agency for this Raiders team. I'm starting, you know, Q said to me on Monday when I was like, we were talking on the show, and I said, Hondo, can you imagine if at 17, if the Raiders stay at 17 in the first round, if they picked a wide receiver like some of these mock drafts, Raider Nation would go crazy. And Q said, yeah, but you know, it wouldn't surprise me. And it made me start thinking, Hondo, and I started over the last couple of days thinking through this. And I've come to the conclusion, and I don't know, I'm not Mike Mayock, I'm not John Gruden, they've forgotten more about football than I'll know. But I will tell you, I'm starting to think, because I think the Raider defense needs to turn pretty quickly, that if I'm the Raiders, I'm going to be more apt to spend money and maybe even some draft capital. I'm not saying first-round draft pick necessarily, to go out and get some veterans both up front on defense and on the back end. And so to me, that might change the approach they take in the draft. So I've been telling Raider Nation out there, Hondo, that, hey, if they go out and they sign some good defensive free agents, don't be surprised if they surprise you a little bit in the draft.
Well, I've got a few names for you, reaching out to some of my sources around the NFL management, that some names they're hearing, if you want me to drop some of those.
Absolutely, of course.
The first two are replacing Trent Brown. I think they expect, even though it's going to be hard to get them from the 49ers, them to make a move for Trent Williams or Taylor Moten. Oh, wow. On the offensive line. But another one, I just literally got a text from assistant GM literally right now as we were coming back from commercial. He says he's hearing the Raiders got interest in Leonard Williams, yeah, defensive lineman, and that's a guy that – another one. He also told me don't rule out Richard Sherman, who loves Bradley. I'm literally reading this text as we're talking, but this is just names and things that he's hearing. Now, he's also telling me if the Raiders trade the first-round draft pick, it is going to be for a, quote, Haas, unquote. And they're certainly open, but they're looking for players. But let me just give you a name that I'm not hearing a lot of people talk about that may shock a little people. It's an edge rusher and Carl Lawson. This is a guy that he says, you know, he thinks that the Bengals probably have the inside track to get him, but he thinks the Raiders are going to be kicking the wheels there. And one of the things that I thought was very interesting is that, let me just read this. This is a quote from him. Literally, I just got the text. He said, one thing I think people need to understand is this is going to be a heck of a class of free agents who the Raiders are going to give every chance to make money if they're as good as they think they are. This is going to be for guys not like Jadeveon Clowney who want the money without having to work for it. The guys in this draft who are going to be some of the biggest horses would love going and playing for the Raiders who are willing to pay guys once they prove they can get it. How about that? I think that's a great quote.
That's a great quote. And I want to start, too, because you rattled off some names there and a couple that I want to talk about. And we had a story up on our website on silverandblacktoday.com about defensive line targets, perhaps. And Leonard Williams is at the top of that, because remember, when Leonard Williams came out of USC, he had talked about how the fact that he wanted to be a Raider. So instead, he's with the New York Giants. But here's a guy I think, I mean, Hondo, if they could get Leonard, and here's a guy that you're talking about, just like your source texted you, this is a guy not like Jadeveon Clowney, who's going to come in and expect money and not put in the work and not have the work ethic. This is a kid who has the work ethic, who's looking to get out of New York in that situation, and he wants to be a Raider. To me, he would be a difference maker the moment he touches the field, the moment he puts on the silver and black.
Right, and I agree with you 100%. And two other names that literally he's texting me right now while we're talking. Matt Milano, who's a guy that you can certainly see on the other side away from Littleton, is a guy I think would be a good one there. But another one is Dalvin Tomlinson. This is a guy that he thinks clearly the Raiders would have a shot at that guy. And again, I'm just getting these texts as we speak because they know I'm asking them, send me all your information westerly because I'm on Raider Nation Radio. But these are all guys literally coming in while we're on the air. But again, I think this is what you're seeing is I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders go offense with the number one pick.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if they go and do a bunch of free agents, but they're going to be looking for a Haas where they're at. And then let there be no mistake. This is something that I heard one time from an NFL general manager, and it just really clicked in my heart. He said, when you're picking first rounders, he goes, especially in the top 20, he goes, you better not be getting guys to sit the bench. Those are instant impact players. I thought that was brilliant. Now, another thing you got to think about is this. A lot of these mock drafts talking about wide receivers. You've got Nelson Aguilar. Then you've got, you know, Brian Edwards and Henry Ruggs. You've got Hunter Renfro. And I think they're going to re-sign Aguilar. I don't even think that's up for issue. I'll be stunned if he gets to the free agent market. And so all of a sudden now, you've got four receivers, and your two young guys, unlike Arnett, who showed some lack of maturity, let's just say it that way, because he's not a bad kid. Those guys struggled, Edwards and Ruggs, because they didn't get all of the offseason workouts. Those were two guys that worked hard. Two guys with great work ethics. I understand why some people are putting, wide receivers on it, but that's because they're doing mock drafts nationally and don't know this team. I would be stunned if they went, especially with the re-signing of Aguilar. I don't think that at all, but it's going to be fun to watch, brother.
It will be, and I still think that, you know, maybe not in the first round, but I do think that the Raiders should look for a complimentary running back, and that's nothing against Devontae Booker this year. He did a fine job, but I think you need that extra punch. You need a guy that they can look to and really spell Josh Jacobs to the point where they can continue that offense rolling when he's not in the game. Nobody's going to reach the level of talent that Josh Jacobs has, of course, unless you go get another first rounder. But you can get somebody in the third round, the fourth round. And then you got to think about, too, because this is a game where if you stop thinking about the future, you're going to stop winning and stop progressing. They also need to think about the future quarterback. If they bring back Marcus Mariota as a backup, I think it'd be a smart move. We'll see what they do with the money perspective. But I also think they need to look at what they're going to do at quarterback. And is there somebody later in the draft, somebody that they could bring in and develop, at least least from a style perspective, so they can see what their offense looks like with a guy like that. So we'll see what they do, Hondo. But I agree with you. I really think, and Q, I credit him because he really changed my thinking around what they might do with that first round pick. And that's what I just keep telling Raider Nation. Don't get disappointed because this team, you know, has so many needs on defense. Don't get disappointed if they go offense first, because it's, again, it's about the value of the player. It's about the talent that's there. And you're right. They have other needs. And yes, while the defense is number one, Hondo, you talked about offensive tackle. That offensive line, you still don't know what's happening with Richie Incognito either. So there's going to be needs there too, and they need to address those some way or another.
Well, I don't know if you just heard my phone go off.
I did.
But let me just – my buddy here is pulling out the lantern and showing us the light here. But he's telling me another name that he's hearing, because he just asked one of his scouts, is Sheldon Rankins. Oh. And that's another guy, defensive lineman, that they think that is a guy that's willing to bet on himself. How about Ndamukong Suh? Listen, I would love the Raiders to get Ndamukong Suh as long as the contract – is absolutely incentive laden.
Right.
I love Ndamukong, and I, you know, covered him in Detroit. This guy's a baller. I think when he was motivated, he's at his best. And that's a guy that you want on your roster. And if you can get him to sign an incentive laden contract where he knows it's me competing against me, show me the money. I would love bringing on an Ndamukong Suh. Man, I love having sources giving us this information red hot on this show. This is why people love your show, Scott. Thank you for just letting me just be a small piece of this empire that you're building. But again, I think you're going to look for them to go out in free agency. If they can't pick up the tackle, then bam, I think you're going to see them go, you know, hot and heavy on defense as well. This is going to be the most exciting offseason in Raider Nation in a long time.
I agree with that. And I think up front, you mentioned Suh as a possibility on an incentive laden contract. You know, they need nasty up front. And that's not a smirge against Max Crosby or any of those guys, those young guys on the line. I know they can get better, but to me, they need the nasty. They need the alpha dog, as Q always called. They need the guy who, when a quarterback lines up and looks across that line, they start feeling like their bowels are going to move, right? They need to have somebody who's going to instill fear in the other side, in that offensive line, in that quarterback that they're opposing. And some of those names that you mentioned clearly are those guys. So we appreciate that. All right, nope. Hondo, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Q's going to join me. He's going to do the Q-tip. And then at the bottom of the hour after that, Hondo will rejoin us, and we'll talk with Vinny Bonsignor, too, about the Gus Bradley hiring and anything and everything under the silver and black sun. You're listening to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio.
The Law Office of Michael Troiano is a proud supporter of all things Las Vegas, including Raider Nation. Specializing in criminal defense matters ranging from misdemeanor offenses such as DUIs and domestic violence to the most serious of felonies, attorney Michael Troiano provides clients with the legal strategy and professional representation needed in court. If you find yourself in legal trouble and need a tough defense on your side, Michael Troiano can help. Call now for a free consultation, 702-843-5500, or visit TroianoVegasLaw.com.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friend Sam and Ash. Visit them at samandashlaw.com. It's 3:20. That means it's time coming up, the Q-tip. But Q Myers joins us back again here. And Q, since talking to you yesterday, you've seen a little bit of the reaction, clearly, around the hiring of Gus Bradley. Any surprises for you?
No. I mean, there's a few surprises, and that's just from Raider Nation that's upset about the hire. But I like the hire. I really do. And I know it's not the splash hire that, you know, I was even looking for and a lot of Raider Nation was looking for. But I think it's a good hire. I think it's a good, I don't want to say safe, because then that kind of gives people, you know, that kind of makes people say, oh, well, it's safe. Who cares about safe? No, I just think it's a smart hire. And I'll explain why a little bit later in the Q-tip, but I just think that it's a good hire, and the more I sit on it, the more I think about it, I just think that they made a good decision with Gus Bradley.
Well, one of the things we've talked about over the last couple of days, Q, is when they were going to make this hire and it looked like it was imminent was, you know, who's he going to bring in on his staff? And I think that's part of the good news, bringing in Miles, bringing in Edwards. Here's two guys who've coached high-end linebackers and defensive backs and done a good job of it. If you look at what the Chargers defense, I keep seeing folks on Twitter talk about how Well, if we wanted middle of the road, and I'm like, what are you talking about? You haven't even had middle of the road. You should be happy with middle of the road to start with. I'm not saying finished product they want to be middle of the road, but next year, if you get to middle of the road, you're winning two more games. You're suddenly at 10 or 11 wins with some certainty, and you're in the playoffs. So I'm not sure where this idea that you go from being the worst defense, or at least one of the worst defenses in the league, to being a top two defense.
Well, it just came from the idea of getting, you know, a Wade Phillips. I think that was ultimately, if Wade Phillips hadn't been out there available, and, you know, I know I'm guilty of it as well because I talked about Wade Phillips. But, you know, and you mentioned it early in the process, like, don't get hung up on a name. Well, unfortunately, Raider Nation got hung up on a name. I wanted Wade Phillips, but I wasn't hung up on it. Like, that's the only guy that's going to get it done. I think I mentioned multiple times, like, hey, just because I might not, you know, have this guy at the top of my list doesn't mean that he's the best, not the best guy for the job. And really, it told me a lot when I heard his press conference. And when I say he, I mean Gus Bradley's media session that he had. I mean, like an hour after the fact that the announcement was made of the hire. I don't know. And maybe I'm falling for banana in the tailpipe, but just what he was able to say and what he brought to the table really gave me confidence he's going to get this defense going in the right direction.
Right. And I think you look at his record and there's so many. All I ask of listeners and fans, even if you're someone, and I'm okay if someone's out there and they have a good thought out reason for why they don't like the hire, I'm okay with that. I might not agree with it, but I'm okay if you make that point. There's nothing wrong with that. As a fan, it's certainly your right to do that. But here's what I ask of you only, is that you have the facts and that you can back them up. Because I see people, well, he did well a couple of years ago when he first got there with the Chargers, but the last few years has been terrible. Well, no. Last year, they were a top 10 defense. This year, they were a top 10 against the pass. So if you're going to criticize the decision, I'm totally fine with that. We make critical discussions here all the time. We criticize the organization, all sorts of things, Q. But if you're going to come to the party with an opposing view on why he wasn't a good hire, which is not what you and I are saying, but if that's what your point is, okay. But just come with something that adds to the discussion.
Right, exactly. And, you know, a lot of people look at the overall record of the Chargers and the fact that they lost a lot of games, but that wasn't on the defense. That was on the fact that they had a head coach that couldn't manage time. He just made bad decisions, had terrible special teams. They had a ton of injuries. I mean, there was a lot of reasons why the Chargers weren't as successful as they should. But there's also a lot of things to like about the Gus Bradley hire. And I think that once Raider Nation actually gives him an opportunity, I think you made a great point when you said that, hey, if the Raiders just had a middle-of-the-road defense, hell, they'd be in the playoffs right now. They might be playing this weekend. You know, I mean, just that's as simple as that. I mean, they're at the bottom feeders right now, the defense. If they can get middle of the pack, that's something that we've been asking for. If they can get to middle of the pack, that's great. And if they can get better, oh, well, then you're absolutely cooking with grease. And I'm not saying that he's going to come out the chutes and have a top 10 defense, but I do believe he gives his team a chance.
And Q, with that hire too, you look at the reaction from players, and not just Raider players, which has been overwhelmingly positive. You would expect that. You're not, but you know, you can often speak volumes by not saying anything. And so I think that you see around the league some of the players who've played with him congratulating him and being excited about, which also brings up the question that some of these guys are going to be free agents, and are they players that possibly could fit in with the Raiders and Gus Bradley in his scheme, because he already knows him, they've already played him. But it's been overwhelmingly positive from the world of players out there who either play for the Raiders now or who've played for Gus Bradley in the past.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's just gives, you know, credit to who he is as a coach, you know, and that people do respect him and people do love him. And I do think that there's going to be some guys that are going to go and want to play for him. You'll probably see a couple players, you know, transition to the Raiders in this offseason just because, hey, he helps fit. They'll fit in with what he wants to do and kind of help, guide some of the younger guys along the way. And also just kind of be what we've been talking about before, that veteran mentorship, that guy in the locker room that can say, hey, guys, you know, we've been there, done that, let's make it happen. So I do think that there's going to be some guys that are going to look and say, you know, the Raiders look like a good destination. I would love to go and be part of that turnaround, especially on that defensive side of the ball. And I know the coach that's going to be calling the shots.
Yeah, and I knew that there would be a segment of the fan base that didn't like the hire because they think it's safe, because they think, again, they go on the false assumption that, oh, it's his buddy and that's the only reason he hired him. All right, Q. So overall, though, you know, hearing from the listeners here at Silver and Black today and the readers of the website and all that, it's been overwhelmingly positive. Yeah, there's some people who weren't happy with it. I think we had one caller yesterday who didn't like the hire and was questioning whether or not it was just, you know, Gruden hiring his buddy. But this is a big year for John Gruden. This is a big year for Mike Mayock. They have to get this franchise over the hump. And the first step to getting over that hump is getting that defense better. And that's what they did. They brought on Gus Bradley. All right. It is time, that time of the day, it is time for you to clear out your eardrums. It is time for the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
All right, so today, and obviously we're going to continue to talk about Gus Bradley. That's the hot subject. That's what it's all about right now. And I just kind of want to go into further detail during the Q-tip on why I believe that this is a really good hire. And I think it really has to do with all the young guys on the defensive side of the ball. The Raiders have invested money, obviously, in guys like Corey Littleton, Nick Kwiatkowski. And I know that they're not young, but they're also not, you know, a long time in the league. But, you know, the young guys that they've drafted, you know, the Max Crosbys, the Damon Arnett, the Trayvon Mullins, the Jonathan Abram, those are guys that I've been talking about quite a bit. Like the whoever's going to be the engineer of the defense is going to have to let it be known how they're going to use these young dudes. How are these young dudes going to succeed? And I think with this scheme that he's bringing to the table, and after hearing what he had to say on Tuesday, his media session that he had after the announcement of the hire, it just gave me a lot more confidence that these young dudes are going to be able to go in there and thrive. And the reason I say that is because they were talking about, you know, a lot of people talked about, yeah, well, he was really good in Seattle with the Legion of Boom, you know, but he had Richard Sherman, he had Earl Thomas, he had Cam Chancellor. Yeah, but when he had those guys, they were all young and an unknown product. I mean, remember this, Richard Sherman was a fifth-round draft pick, so it's not like he was a guy that just, you know, oh, he came into the league and you knew he was going to be a shutdown corner. I mean, you didn't know that. And so he and Pete Carroll got into the lab, and I think this is what the biggest thing that Raider Nation needs to realize. They got into the lab, and they came up with the defense that they are running in Seattle that was so successful that actually helped the young guys go out there and thrive and get the best and most out of their talent. And that's something that we've been talking about. How do you get the most out of a Jonathan Abram? How do you get, you know, and you went and drafted him. Now, how do you get him to play at the level that you need him to play? Well, you have to have a guy go in there and understand his strengths and his weaknesses and set him up in the right position. So that's what gets me excited. So when I'm hearing Gus Bradley talk about what they did in Seattle, and I loved how he broke it down. He just said, hey, let me go ahead and give you a history lesson. Let me go ahead and take you back and tell you how everything came to be. So when he broke down the way that defense came about, him and Pete Carroll getting together and making that happen, it gave me confidence that a guy like Damon Arnett is going to be put in position to succeed. Again, I think the cover three defense, I said it yesterday, is a better scheme to run, especially with some of these young guys. They'll be able to understand it and not think so much. Trayvon Mullen, I think it's going to help him out a lot. A guy like Amik Robertson, you know, maybe he's actually able to get onto the field now and be able to thrive. You know, that's another young dude that Raider Nation didn't see hardly any of. Isaiah Johnson, you know, he's got the length to be a guy that could potentially play in Seattle in that scheme that they run. So if you're Gus Bradley, you probably look at Isaiah Johnson and say, hey, this could be one of my main guys. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of things that you could like about the defensive players that are already on the team. Do I think that they need a guy, like a dude on the defensive line that could be a veteran that can help get pressure on the quarterback? Absolutely. I do think that needs to be still addressed and upgraded. But as far as like the secondary and the linebackers go, I think that they have really a chance to thrive. And so that's what makes me more excited about this hire, is the potential of the young dudes, because they did it in Seattle with a bunch of young dudes that were still, you know, wet behind the ears, you know, still had Similac on their breath, and they were able to thrive. Can they get a young Jonathan Abram to thrive? Can he get a Damon Arnett to thrive? If he can, the Raiders, I mean, sky's the limit. It really is. And again, I'm not trying to sell you, you know, I'm not trying to sell you, you know, a island in I don't know, some foreign land. I'm not trying to just make it look like the, you know, rainbows and puppy dogs and everything is great. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done. I just think that this, with all the talent that's on this roster, I do think that there's enough there to work with where Gus Bradley could get this thing turned around pretty quick.
Yeah, and Q, on your podcast this morning too, you played some audio, and I know you talked about this a little bit too, and that's what I mentioned yesterday. Because look, introductory press conferences, you know, everybody's happy to be there. You just got a new job, right? And the team filled a position. So, and not that reporters don't ask some difficult questions, and not that coaches, as I talked about with Vinny last night, like Adam Gase, who blow their introductory press conferences, but you expect it to be positive. But there are things, I think that's that's where the discerning eye, and you did it on the podcast this morning, which is you look at what they say and what that means for where the Raiders are. And I hit on that too, which is he's going to play guys where they and to their abilities. He's not going to ask them to do things that is not within their bailiwick. He's going to ask them to do things that they do well. And so when people gave up on Corey Littleton, and Corey Littleton had a bad year, he admitted it in his postseason press conference. When you look at guys like that, and you look at, like you said, Isaiah Johnson, Trayvon Mullen, Jonathan Abram, hello, the elephant in the middle of the room.
Yep.
These are guys that they have talent, but they need someone, and that includes coaching and hopefully some veterans to help them back there. They need people to get in their ear and teach them how to be pros. They can teach them, you know, there's alpha dog in Jonathan Abram, but it needs to be directed in the right areas towards the right kind of play so that you can mine as much talent out of him so he can be the best he can be. And that's exactly right. So people get caught up in schemes and what was his record here and what was his defense rank. But in reality, the one thing you and I said from the very beginning, Q, was this person has to be a great teacher. And I think that with Gus Bradley and with the staff that he's assembling there, I think that's what the Raiders are getting. And that's very encouraging.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very encouraging. And, you know, for every reason that you just mentioned. And so that's what gives me hope. You know, the fact is, and we talked about it all season long, it looked like the defense was thinking out there. It looked like they were slow. And that's what Gus Bradley, in my opinion, is going to do. Make it so these guys aren't thinking. They're just going around there, flying to the ball and making plays. And again, if you go back to what Seattle did when he first put together that Legion of Boom with Pete Carroll, that's what those guys did. They just flew around the field because they knew exactly what they were going to do. And that was something that he was talking about, you know, some of the principles of his defense. And I know a lot of, you know, guys are going to say you want to play fast, you want to play physical, you want to play smart, but those are like the three principles. Those were like he pointed them out. Those are the must-haves. Those are non-negotiable. You know what I mean? Like those are things that this defense is going to have. You got to be able to fly around, you've got to be able to be physical, and you've got to be smart. And Raider Nation, I don't know if you know, but the Raiders defense hasn't been smart all that time. I mean, all the time. I mean, it just hasn't. You know, Jonathan Abram with some stupid boneheaded penalties. That's going to have to be coached out of him. Like, hey, that's unacceptable. And Gus Bradley's going to have to take that no-nonsense approach. If he's out there making boneheaded plays, you got to pull him off the field. And I think that Gus Bradley's going to hold a guy like that accountable, especially if he's able to bring in a couple veterans that, you know, can kind of solidify that role as well and be there. Hey, sitting on the bench, brother, you know, if you're not getting it done. So I just think that there's a lot to be excited about. I think this is a guy that he obviously knows John Gruden very well. He mentioned, you know, Gruden's vision. He mentioned Mark Davis's vision. He mentioned Mike Mayock's vision and then his vision as well. So, I mean, you could clearly see it feels like you can clearly see that, you know, all the dots have been dotted, all the I's have been dotted and all the T's have been crossed. I just think that this is going to head in the right direction.
I do too. And the other thing that he said, Q, I want to get your reaction to, is also what he said about getting after the quarterback. And I think that's significant. I mean, you could say, well, yeah, of course you got to get after the quarterback. But remember, this Raiders team, 2018, just absolutely awful in the pass rush. 2019 with Brenston Buckner, they got better. They didn't get where they needed to be, but they got better. Then this year they go completely backwards again, despite the addition of people like Malik Collins and others. So he gets into his press conference and he talks about the importance of getting after the quarterback, saying it doesn't matter if you could stop the run and that's all great, but you have to disrupt the quarterback, which tells me that, yes, he believes it clearly as a defensive coordinator, as a defensive mind. But that tells me, too, the organization is prioritizing that on the defense as well, because they like the young talent they have in the defensive backfield, even though they need to supplement it. And so to me, Q, this is where I keep – and maybe I'm just in love with my own idea, and you can tell me if it's the case. I just really think the Raiders are going to pursue experienced talent up front. They have got to get the pass rush. They
got
to get it better like 150% quickly. And I don't think you do that with a young player.
Right. No, I agree. And I don't think that the young players that are up there up front have proven yet that they get to the quarterback consistently enough anyway. You know what I mean? Like that's my biggest thing. That's why a guy like a Leonard Williams might be someone that they really need to go after and maybe go a little bit over beyond the Call of Duty to go get him, if you know what I mean. Like just someone like that can consistently get home, you know, and maybe free things up for Max Crosby and Clelin Ferrell. But those young dudes are going to be expected to be some big time players. Like that's my biggest concern is, okay, who's going to solidify that defensive line, because Gus Bradley's not a guy who blitzes a lot. He just doesn't. You know, he expects his front four to get home. And I know Rod Marinelli is a guy who prefers to not have to, you know, rely on a blitz either. He wants those guys on the defensive line that he's coaching up. He wants them to be able to get home on their own as well. And so if they can do that, and it might take, like you said, a veteran coming in to get it done, maybe you go and make a move for J.J. Watt. Maybe you go make a move for Leonard Williams. Maybe, I mean, you just kind of look around the league and see who may be available and who you could possibly go get. And you've got to do that. You've got to have, you know, enough of the tools in the tool shed to be able to make this thing work. But I think that a lot of the parts are there. They just got to be fine-tuned. It's just got to be put in the right position. So that's something that I'm excited to see. And like I said, if these guys go out there and they play fast, they play physical, and they play smart, there's a good opportunity to win games.
And you said something to me a few days ago on the show, Q, where we were talking about the first pick in the draft for the Raiders at 17, if they don't trade up or down, of course. And I said, you know, Raider Nation might lose their mind if it's an offensive player. But more and more, and I was on Christopher Gabriel's show yesterday in Fresno, our good buddy, and he asked me, well, they're going to go defense first round. And I said, you know, Q said something to me the other day, and I said, you know what? If they go out and they get a Leonard Williams or a J.J. Watt or both, who knows?
Right.
And they start to really get some veteran leadership there, then they go with best player available. And I know people say, well, John Gruden never does that, and Mike Mayock values his draft capital. Look, this organization, and I'm not trying to make it more dire than it is, Q, but this organization has to turn the corner next year. And you know what? They don't have 2 years or 3 years to wait for young guys to progress. And so I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. And I think you hit on it so many days ago and really made me think more in depth about it. I kind of did it flippantly. But I think that this team could surprise people in the draft. It needs to build its defense, yes, but there's more than one way to build a brick building, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes, you know, the best defense is a really good offense. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So, I mean, look, I've said it so many times, the Chiefs never turn down talent because they feel like they have too much. You know, there could be an opportunity that you know, if somebody falls in, you know, to the Raiders at 17 that they just didn't expect, they may have to go out and make a move, just like the Cowboys did with CeeDee Lamb. Like, I don't think anyone thought CeeDee was going to be there at number 17 when he was. You know, the Cowboys were like, well, hell, we got to go get them, you know, and so they did. And I think it worked out really well. Now, their defense still stinks, but man, that offense, and they have all those weapons. I mean, you can't really double anybody. You know, you got to be honest, keep it honest with everybody. So it could end up being a scenario like that. But I think with all the not issues, but all the areas that could be upgraded with the Raiders, best player available is definitely going to be the way that they roll, or should be the way that they roll in the upcoming April draft.
Absolutely. Q, I know we got to say goodbye to you, my man. As always, a pleasure. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, my man. Appreciate you. Raider Nation, keep doing what you're doing. Keep your head up.
All right, we're going to take a break now. We will be back on the other end. This is Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today. Scott Gulbranson joined today by Hondo Carpenter. Coming up in just a minute, Vinny Bonsignore will join us. We'll get a hint and a preview of what he's going to have on In the Huddle. Vinny, and of course, Raiders great. Oh my gosh, why am I blanking?
Lincoln Kennedy.
Lincoln Kennedy. Holy crap, I just got a brain fart like right there. It's like, I say that every day. There's no reason to forget it. It's nothing with Link. It's just, I just stopped. It's just like, boom, senior moment. But Lincoln Kennedy, of course, and Vinny Bonsignore coming up next. So, but Hondo, good discussion today, man, around the Gus Bradley stuff and getting to talk a little bit about free agents.
Well, and again, NFL free agency is like a masquerade ball. You never really know. But I'm going to tell you this, is I got a text from a member of management from an NFL team that told me, he said, Hondo, we're hearing through the grapevine that the Raiders are already kicking the tires on Shelby Harris. Mm. He goes, that would be a really interesting pick. That's a guy who is equally as good at pass rushing as he is the run. But he also adds this out. He said, another thing we're hearing is that Melvin Ingram would love to come with Bradley. Yeah. He's not as good as he once was, but as good once as he ever was. He would be great, because he's a student of the game. He knows Bradley. He would help Klee and Max immensely. But then also I want to say this, Scott, you may remember I broke this on your show, not broke it, but reported on your show several weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago that I heard that the Raiders basically already had something in principle with Nelson Aguilar. They were working out the language. Obviously, the coming salary cap apocalypse, but he told me what he's hearing is the Raiders have a two-year, $15 million deal right at the ballpark. Then Nelson will be coming. He said, but he expects the delay is waiting to find out just exactly how far the salary cap's going to drop. But he does expect Nelson to come for somewhere in the two-year, $15 million total range. So that's just a little bit more information from the cutting edge right now.
Well, there you go. Hondo Carpenter with some inside info. And speaking of inside info, we're going to bring in our colleague here at Raider Nation Radio. Of course, he covers the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And again, hosts In the Huddle with Lincoln Kennedy coming up at 4 o'clock, Vinny Bonsignor. And Vinny, that whole salary cap thing, I know you were on the morning show talking about it today, but if you're a Raiders fan, I know the Raiders are going to clear up space. They're going to make some decisions and a few probably tough decisions. But when you look at the Raiders' ability to go out to not only do what they need to do in the draft, but maybe go after some high-profile free agents to fix that defense as quickly as possible, what kind of maneuvering are they going to have to do with that salary cap to get things in a position where they can do what they want?
Well, we don't know what the salary cap is going to be just yet. Obviously, that comes out somewhere closer to March when they count all the money from 2020 and determine, you know, what the salary cap will look like for the following season. Now, typically, it goes up. It's gone up by $10 million for like the last 10 years or so. This year it'll go down. I think the only time that it's ever gone down or stayed pat was when there was a work stoppage, but short of that, it always goes up. Obviously, that's not going to happen this year because of COVID-19 and how it affected revenue streams. We get it. We understand it. But by the estimations, you know, if you go out there, over the cap has it at $177 million, which would be $20 million less than it was this year. That's a pretty big drop off, obviously. And if that were the case, if over the cap's projections are correct, as we speak right now, based on the commitments that the Raiders have in 2021, that would put them about $7 million over the salary cap. Before anyone freaks out, there's various ways that they can get well under that. But it would, you know, necessitate walking away from a number of players. Who do you look at? Trent Brown. None of the money that he's owed over these next couple of years is guaranteed. They could walk away scot-free and create $13 million right off the bat under the salary cap. Or, his $13 million minus the $7 million that they're over it right now. Terrell Williams, I don't expect him to be back. I think that's the numbers around $11, $12 million that you would be getting back right there. Marcus Mariota, if you want to go down that road, he's not guaranteed his contract for next year. That's another, you know, $8 million or so. I'd have to look at the numbers. But the point being is there's about four or five guys that could go right to and get out of their contracts without any penalty to the salary cap. And voila, all of a sudden, you know, you're about $42 million under the salary cap.
Hey, Vinny, good to talk to you, my friend. You're one of the best guys on the beat. I love, you know, being able to call you a colleague. This is Hondo, my friend.
Likewise, man. How you doing?
Good, buddy. I reported several weeks ago that a general manager told me he thought that $30 million was probably the floor on how much the salary cap. He goes, I don't think it's going to go that far. He said, but 34 is kind of the floor of what I'm hearing. And one of the things that he said is there's going to be a bunch of good players that teams in a normal year would never let go who are going to be forced to because it's a hard cap in the NFL. And he said, pay attention because there's going to be guys that teams don't want to let go, but because of money reasons, they're absolutely going to have to. I thought that was an interesting thing. Have you heard that as well?
Well, and that's always the case every year. More and more your mid-level guys, veteran guys, are more and more vulnerable. But to compound that issue is that the salary cap is going to go down rather than go up. Even in good years, those mid-level guys are always the most vulnerable because that's the easiest way to create cap space if you're a team that has to do that. You know, you get rid of somebody whose number is while you don't want to get rid of the player, it's the number that you have to look at. That's the case every single year, but this year more prominent than others because this decrease in the salary cap is a real issue. So, yeah, I would expect that players that we're not even contemplating, thinking about right now, are going to hit the open market at some point. And, you know, if you're under the cap, if you have flexibility, which I imagine the Raiders are going to do everything possible to be a team that has flexibility, there might be some real value this year as opposed to the last few years, because I think there's going to be a glut in the market on some players that, because of the situation, find themselves out of jobs.
Again, Vinny Bonsignor is with us. He hosts In the Huddle with Lincoln Kennedy next here on Raider Nation Radio from 4 to 6 p.m. And Vinny, you know, we talked to Gilbert Manzano, who you know well, down at the Orange County Register. He's covered the Chargers for 2.5 years. And it just continues, I think, and I'm sure you're having continued conversations with people around the league about Gus Bradley. It seems like this is the right hire, the right kind of guy who values the right sort of approach that you need to see what you have in that young talent, to get the most out of it. But at the same time, there's veterans all over the league who have tweeted out, who've talked about how much they love Gus Bradley. How might that factor into their pursuit of free agents on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, it helps. There's no question about it. You know, players like to play for coaches that they believe in, that they have confidence is going to put them in the right position to succeed and to take advantage of their skill set. And Gus Bradley has a track record of that. He has a track record of development. He has a track record of identifying talent, helping identify talent, sometimes where it's not the most obvious, sometimes in cases where other people don't quite see it. But he and, you know, you go back to his Seattle days, as we've talked about, a lot of those players that became the Legion of Boom weren't necessarily surefire, you know, stars to be or productive NFL players to be. In fact, there was a lot of head scratching going on in some of those drafts. But they saw it, and then they were able to nurture it and develop it, and it turned out to be something really special. And so players see that. Players recognize that. And, you know, on top of that, there's opportunity here in Las Vegas because the Raiders do need to make some improvements on the roster, the defensive roster. There's the beautiful new stadium. There's this great growing market. There's no state tax. There's going to be some players that, you know, are surprisingly out of a job. There's a respected coach, and not just Gus Bradley. Ron Miles, who's coming in as his defensive backs coach, is as good as it gets in the NFL and has league-wide appreciation, not just from you know, fellow coaches and general managers, but players. Chris Harris literally followed him to San Diego because he was such a prominent, Ron Miles was such a prominent figure in Chris Harris's development in Denver that he went back to him when he got to Los Angeles, when he was with the Los Angeles Chargers, because that's how much he respected him. And you look at a guy like Ron Miles going back to all the way to, I think it's 2000. Since 2000, there was a run of 8-9 straight years where he was producing a Pro Bowl defensive back with the Chargers. That's not hard. That's not easy to do, and he did it. And so there's great recognition for him and great respect as well for Richard Smith, who's coming in as a linebacker coach. So that collect, and we can't overlook Rod Marinelli whatsoever. I know you know, he was a little bit of an easy target because the defensive line in some ways didn't produce this year for the Raiders, but in other ways it did. Clee Farrell got better. Mo Hurst got better. There were some positives along those defensive lines. And, you know, if you can overlook just this season and maybe, you know, some of the difficulties that this defensive line had this year, Rod Marinelli is as respected as it gets. His body of work speaks for itself. So if you're going to overreact to 1 year and completely overlook, you know, the 20 other years, you know, that's on you. But I don't think many people are doing that. They believe that Rod Marinelli is going to be an asset, you know, before this is all said and done.
You know, Vinny, one of the things that I mentioned earlier in the show is I was talking with a buddy of mine who played for Bradley and knows Miles well. And he said that it's going to help, you know, Jonathan Abrams continued to hurt this team last year, continued to make mistakes later in the year that he made earlier in the year, set the team back, dumb penalties, misplays. And Damon Arnette, not a bad kid, but needs to mature. And they said that those guys are going to be great for those two because they're going to instantly learn what's expected of them in the classroom and on the field. I mean, I'm sure you've heard a lot too. You've got sources like I do, but I think on a very young Raiders team, this was a great hire. They went and got dedicated teachers with proven track records of developing people. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, it behooves Jonathan Abram to be all ears and be a sponge around somebody like a Ron Miles, you know, and a Gus Bradley. Likewise for Damon Arnette and Trayvon Mullen. And you know, it's always been my experience that by and large, players want to get better. You know, you think about if you're a young player in the NFL, yeah, it's great, you're here, but not everyone. Most of the great ones aren't content with just getting here. They want to get to that next level. Right. What's that next level? A nice big contract.
Second contract.
And being somebody that people look at and say, that's a great player right there. That's the motivation. And I don't doubt that for one second in Jonathan Abram and Damon Arnette or Trayvon Mullen. So if that's their objective, if they want to A, be better players, B, be part of a winning, you know, organization, and C, let's not ever overlook the fact that money gets involved and you want to earn that next contract. It behooves them to listen to what these new coaches bring to the table. And I expect that to happen. And, you know, on top of that, in no uncertain terms, guys like Ron Miles, what they speak, people hear and people react to it in terms of the players. Same with Gus Bradley. So they get they're able to reach players. They've shown that they can do that. Whatever it is that they're selling, or however it is that they're selling,
it
gets through. So yeah. I don't expect that to be any different here in Las Vegas with the Raiders.
All right, Vinny. Well, we're out of time. Have a great show. Catch Vinny next on In the Huddle with Lincoln Kennedy. Vinny, take care, my friend.
You too. Take care, Hondo.
Thanks, buddy. Talk to you later.
All right. That's going to conclude our show today for Wednesday. Hondo, thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate you being here. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, friend.
All right. There you go. For Hondo Carpenter, for our producer, David Stepanian, of course, Damon Cotton, and Chris Chapman back in the studio. This is Scott Colbrands, and this has been the Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Raider Nation.